On this All Saints Sunday, I call your attention to the first reading. It comes from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. You can find it in your pew Bible in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, on page 186. Hear this story. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now, select 12 members from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a huge heap from far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing toward the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel was crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And your pastor will read from the other section.
Yeah, it's always good to shake things up a little bit. Our second scripture this morning comes from the letter of Paul to the church in Thessalonica, the first letter. Hear now the words of Paul the Apostle. "You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that you might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you, believers." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Page 24 in the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along. "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about how you feel about it, but I love this time of year. Today, they're talking about temperatures that might break records and 78 degrees. But at very least in the autumn, we recognize that those temperatures have backed off from the hottest temperatures of the summer. And these days, as you look around, you see the kaleidoscope of colors as the leaves on the deciduous trees are all changing colors. Yellow, red, orange, green. It's just beautiful. And then in the autumn, you have... Let's see, there's a football team here, isn't there? Anybody know what that team is? The Broncos go up against the Dolphins today. And, oh yes, at church, today is All Saints Sunday. Now, this time of year, there's a lot of things going on at the end of October, the beginning of November. We had All Saints Day. Technically, we celebrate that day today on a Sunday. And this week there was something that used to be called All Hallows' Eve. We know it as Halloween. And then if you are part of the Hispanic or Latino culture, you have the parallel days of Dia de los Santos and Dia de los Muertos, which is exactly Day of the Saints and Day of the Dead. Now, depending on your culture, and depending on your level of seriousness, all of these holidays, these holy days, attempt to remind us that we ought to remember those who have gone before, the saints who have gone before us. Now, I'm not sure how it is in Tongan culture. I hope to know. But I know that many of us have a little inkling of Japanese and Chinese and Korean culture. And in those cultures, they really venerate the people who came before. They almost worship the ancestors. They keep their memories alive. They think about ancestors a lot. Has anybody here been to a mass in a Greek Orthodox church? Anybody ever seen a Greek? Okay, a few of you have. When I was in seminary in Washington, D.C., I was invited to go to a mass in a Greek Orthodox cathedral. It's an amazing place, very, very ornate. And in the Greek Orthodox Church, all over the walls and even on the pillars are beautifully ornate paintings. They call them icons of saints from the past. And they come from all throughout the history. There was an icon to Martin Luther King Jr. And there was an icon to Joan of Arc. In anticipation of the service in the Greek Orthodox Church, people would come in and they would come up and kiss the frame of their favorite saint. They would venerate or worship the saint. Now, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. Some of you have some familiarity. They have a strong connection to the saints. I don't know that I would call it veneration, but for instance, they pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary. They ask for intercession by some of the other saints. I hope to find out what it's like in Tongan culture. I don't know if you have saints. Do you venerate saints? You guys are Tongans, but you're also United Methodists, so we're probably more alike than otherwise. Anyway, in the United Methodist Church, I don't know that we venerate saints, but rather we honor the people who came before. So this morning I want you to think about saints, and that's anybody who has died, in kind of three different levels, if you will. First of all, there are the people that we read about in the Holy Bible, the saints who have gone before us. But then you have all the people from the time of the resurrection all throughout Christian history for those 2,000 years since Christ was resurrected. And then finally, the third level of saints would be those people you know, the people you know and love who have gone to their rest. So let's think about those three kinds. First of all, think about the saints that we read about today in Scripture from the book of Joshua. As you may well remember, Joshua was the chosen successor to Moses. And throughout the book of Joshua, Joshua himself and God are all the time referring back to Moses. Joshua says, "Honor me, follow me as you followed Moses." And if you look in other places in the Hebrew Bible, you'll hear a lot of talk about referring back to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jewish people are very big on remembering their ancestors. The Jewish people are our brothers and sisters in faith, and they honor the Hebrew Bible, and perhaps so should we. I would suggest that we ought to spend more time studying the Hebrew Bible, at least as much time as we do studying the New Testament. But then think about those folks who have gone from the time of the Bible all the way up to today. But before I move that, I was thinking of the other two readings there in Scripture. One of them is the description by Jesus, who was asking the leaders of the church at the time to be more honoring of their faith. The scribes and the Pharisees were so busy focusing on their titles. They wanted to be called rabbi and teacher and instructor. It was so important to them to have the best seats at the banquet. They were so enamored of their phylacteries and their fringes on their robes. They spent more time worrying about the fittings of religion, and they didn't spend enough time thinking about the faith of their religion. So Jesus scolds them for this. But really, Jesus himself is absolutely the most important ancestor we have of our faith. And we actually do venerate Jesus Christ. Paul himself, probably the most famous evangelist of all time, reminds us that what we're about is calling people to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow God more closely. The second level of saints, those folks who have been on this earth, the people who are just like us have tried to follow Christ, have tried to understand what it means to read and study the Bible. And there's so many of them. We could spend all morning talking about those kind of historic saints. Off the top of your head, Joan of Arc, St. Francis of Assisi, Martin Luther. You could talk about Martin Luther King Jr. You could talk about Mahatma Gandhi if you were serious, although he wasn't a Christian. All the people who have looked at the writings of Jesus and tried to understand them. And then, finally, the guy who's on the cover of your bulletin. I have to admit, Paya didn't know who this was. I gave her a hard time. Who is that on the bulletin? Take a wild guess. Ronald McDonald, right, there he is. Yeah. That's John Wesley. Yes, John Wesley. Wesley, I think, is an important ancestor in the faith for United Methodists. Because you know what Wesley said? He pulled out two very important parts of human nature as being worthy of our consideration. Wesley often talks about knowledge and vital piety. And what he meant was, as Christian people, we should put import in our brains, in our thoughts, in our ability to study, as much as we do our hearts. We are people of thoughts and we are people of faith. And Wesley said that those two should come together. Wesley also said a lot about reading and studying the lives of people who have gone before. He was a big one on telling us that if we read about the saints, if we read about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, if we read about Martin Luther, we can understand the struggles they went through, and in fact, we can become better Christians if we start to understand what they went through and try to emulate their lives as well. Well, that third level of saints is all of those people who have touched your life, those people who are now dead and gone, those people who throughout your life have made you who you are. And so I'd like to ask you for just a few minutes to think about family members or friends who touched your heart, who had something to say to you that made you more of who you are today. And I'd like to ask you to let their memory wash over you right now. My brothers and sisters, we truly are a product of who has gone before us. In that idea of bringing piety and intellect together, I want you to think back about how many of you had an introductory physics class? Did you ever take physics? Some of you did. Some of you took a lot of physics. I know, yeah, some of you. If you probably had basic science, you may have heard of the law of the conservation of matter. And roughly speaking, the law of conservation of matter says that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can only be moved around. Now, from a scientific standpoint, what it means is that there's only so much stuff in the universe, so we just sort of move it around in different packages. But I want to think about who you are. I want to think about the atoms that make up your body. Now, probably fairly simplistically, we can say that some of Courtney's atoms and some of Michael's atoms are now in Bo. It worked the same way with each of us. Some of our biological father's stuff and our biological mother's stuff came together and created you. From a perhaps a little sacrilegious thought, think about the cheeseburger that you ate this week. Part of that cow is now part of you as well. Right? Moo, says Janet. But if you think about that, if you think about all the people who've ever existed for all time, we truly are connected. It's not too hard a leap to think about maybe some of the atoms that made up, the matter that made up Moses, may now be in Kathy Moton. Maybe some of the atoms that made up Francis of Assisi are in Mark Doctor. Perhaps we are all connected it that way as well. It may be an intellectual stretch to think about it, but it's not an intellectual stretch to realize that all the people who have gone before have helped to give us our spiritual legacy. My brothers and sisters, we are children of God, human miracles made in the image of God. Our ancestors are Moses and Joshua. Our ancestors are Mother Teresa of Calcutta and John Wesley. And our ancestors are your mom and your dad and those people you love who have passed on. But most importantly of all, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus of Nazareth, and that makes all the difference in the world. Amen.